Hello and welcome to Sourcecast episode number one. You may be wondering, why am I listening to this? It's a good question. It could be that you're too lazy to actually read the weekly articles that I write, which is fine because it's just an aggregation of the news. Or it could be that you just want to listen to the train wreck, which is this show. A little bit of background before we get into the episode. I've been meaning to do a podcast for months. For those of you that know me, you know that I've been trying to ask you, several of you, to be guests on the show. There's concern, of course, because of the company. We're not going to mention the company on the podcast. It's okay. But there's concern, of course, because you don't know if we're crossing some invisible barrier. We can get in trouble, which is why we keep things nice and clinical. We just report what is on the news. So if you don't know me and you've somehow managed to magically come across this podcast, what is it about? It's about large IT companies. It's about suppliers that provide IT services. What's going on with them? What are they up to? What are the trends? And with a little bit of a procurement or strategic sourcing focus. That's the intent of the show. I personally hope that it will evolve into more of a interview-based show, a little bit more interaction. I certainly don't want to have a situation where I'm talking to myself in a microphone for the next however many episodes that I do it, but we'll see how it evolves. The important part is that I'm doing the show because I have been staring at this equipment for 6 months. My wife is thinking that I'm weird that I bought all this stuff, so it's happening, people. It's going down, and it's going down right now.
Oh, yeah. You gotta get swifty. You gotta get swifty in here. It's time to get swifty. Uh-oh. You gotta get swifty. Oh, yeah.
So let's get right into the show. EMC, Dell merger. Everybody's talking about it. I think it's making customers concerned. I think it's making other companies concerned. What is the issue? The big thing for me, the thing that I'm looking at is that is a lot of debt for Dell to be undertaking. And it's fundamentally in a hardware market. So it's good that it's good that there's consolidation in the hardware market for long-term profitability. They're going to have to sell off bits and pieces of this company that they're purchasing where there's overlap. Who buys that? Is it Lenovo? There's probably only a handful of companies that probably have the capital and are willing to get into that kind of business. So it'll be interesting to see what happens to the market as far as storage goes, as far as cloud computing goes. HP is reacting very negatively to the EMC merger or acquisition. Meg Whitman is definitely talking a lot of smack on the market right now. She's saying that this is a company that's going to be distracted. That's a advantageous situation for HP. However, if we're looking at what's going on with HP, that split, I'm still unclear of how that's going to work in the market. The HP Inc. side, which focuses on desktop, the printer market seems to be poised right now. They're the number two PC manufacturer in the world right now. But with Microsoft coming in with that with their new Surface device, I think you're going to start to see a situation where very similar to what's happening with Android, where unless you get it directly from the source or from a trusted partner, the consumers are not probably going to gravitate towards these third or fourth party providers of the equipment. So, if you want a quote unquote pure Microsoft experience for Windows, very similar to Apple, you're probably going to buy a Microsoft machine. So if they're doing away with partners, what does that do to Lenovo? What does that do to HP Inc.? This is an interesting development because I definitely see Microsoft wanting to control the end user experience with the device that they generate, similar to Apple. It puts HP and Lenovo in an interesting position. And I think Dell has basically gotten out of the consumer market. What are these guys going to build? They're going to build Chromebooks? Maybe. Maybe there's a fourth operating system or they do an Ubuntu version and that starts to take market share. That'll be very interesting to see, specifically in the performance of HP Inc. But then go over to HP Enterprises. They just announced this week that they are discontinuing their Helion cloud service. They're not going after AWS or Microsoft or IBM with SoftLayer. So they're pulling out of that market, just as companies are basically all defining their strategy around that. So their focus is to provide private cloud via their equipment, which is becoming more of a commodity-based transaction, which is driving profitability down. So where is their profit stream? They're certainly not going to be able to make a ton of money selling hardware. They're playing in the storage space, But again, storage is becoming more of a commodity-based product as well, unless you're doing flash arrays, but that'll also come down. It's coming. It's all coming down. The prices are coming down. So where are they making their money? Is it installation services? Is it product services? In the background of all this with HP, they're rebadging their employees. There was 55,000 headcount, both HP Inc. and HPE, about 300,000 employees, or was 300,000 employees. There's 55,000 that are being job eliminated, but there is talk that there are several employees that are being rebadged through a series of consulting companies. The same criticism that HP is levying towards EMC and Dell, same criticism could be assessed against them. You know, you're going to have employees that are distracted during this tumultuous time. Let's see what happens there. Interesting time in the IT sector. And again, going back to IBM, we mentioned them. A bad quarter. Once again, they're attributing it towards their transition away from a hardware company, focusing on the cloud, focusing on software as a service, focusing on analytics. Those are the three big pillars that Ginny has been mentioning. It's the 14th quarter that they've not met profit expectations. The market reacted poorly. You know, investors, again, if you're a hardcore investor of IBM right now, they're talking about the dividends, but this is not an investment blog. But it is interesting to hear that perspective and the health of the company. There was an interesting rumor going around, or suggestion. There's a blog called Seeking Alpha. Very, very anti-IBM, negative. I've never read a positive report about IBM on the Seeking Alpha blog, and it's more of an investment blog. Seeking Alpha is actually suggesting that James Whitehurst, the CEO of Red Hat, take over at IBM, bring in all his people, so I guess it would be an acquisition, and just turn the whole company around. I suspect they suggested an open source model or doing something with an open source model with the IBM software, which, and then just selling as a service, which actually isn't a terrible idea. You propagate all of this phenomenal IBM software, charge an uptick on service, and now you have this elite consulting company that's basically going in and configuring the software. It's an interesting concept. It's not a horrible idea. And then they still sell the SaaS services, the analytics, et cetera, et cetera. And they actually go back to a consulting model. It's not the craziest idea I've ever heard, but we'll see what happens there. Oracle. Oracle is an interesting company. If you read the weekly blog, there's never a ton of news directly coming out of Oracle or articles written about Oracle. You usually get information about Oracle through a competitive view. It's usually somebody like Salesforce mentioning things, or it's a comparative article about Oracle, but they're not big on press releases unless it's during Open World or another conference that they're participating in. Oracle is a very quiet company considering their size and their market position. There is not a lot of articles about them outside of lawsuit information. You know, there was a lot of states actually suing them over the summer because of their healthcare solution. They built poor portals for the healthcare systems, and a lot of states sued. But again, as a whole, Oracle, there isn't a lot of information out about them outside of investment blogs. Whenever they do speak or whenever there is an article about them, it's usually braggadocious. It's usually them stating how they're going to be a cost leader or a cost reduction leader. They're usually going after Amazon, or they're usually going after Salesforce. They're usually provoking some kind of press war. Interesting culture there. Interesting. You know, I've been watching them for 2 years, and that's consistently. When they do speak, it's usually fighting words. So, but nothing hot with Oracle this week. No lawsuits either. So again, an interesting time in the market. Going to be a lot of consolidation in the coming years, and you're showing consolidation or restructuring inefficiencies. These companies are trying to figure out a way to survive the changes in technology and the economy. They've been around for the last 100 years or 50 years. The old ways aren't working. The financial engineering in the stock market's not working. The buybacks aren't working. Either, I guess, they have to get lean, they have to get restructured where they're making profit, or they're going to go away. And that's what the blog's all about, and that's what this podcast is about at the moment. But again, I make no qualms about the fact that I am attempting to get guests on the show, to get interaction, and it's not my voice that you're hearing for 8 to 10 minutes every time you listen to this thing. So thanks for listening this time. I hope you found it interesting. I hope you want to listen again. I appreciate you checking out the blog.